Amen. We want to welcome our live audience to Deliverance Temple. Man, we appreciate you for being with us. Would you get your Bibles in your hands and repeat after me? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I will have what it says I will have. I'm a part of Deliverance Temple, where we love by living our vision every day. We connect with our Creator continually. We confess our deliverance consistently. We commit to serve creatively. We communicate Christ's love compassionately. Pastor Andre, feed me this word. Come on, let's bow our heads. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you and honor you. God, I'm praying that you would hide me beneath the cross, that you would think through my mind, speak through my mouth. It would be all of you and less of me. Let the people be eternally touched and blessed, and let transformative revelation knowledge fall into their lap and change their life from the inside out. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And let everybody say, amen. Today we're going to talk from the title, Breaking Protocol. Breaking Protocol. I'm going to say it one more time for emphasis. Breaking Protocol. Now they have the definition of protocol up on the screen, so I will go ahead and read it. It is the accepted or established code of procedure or behavior in any group, organization, or situation. It's the way things are supposed to be done. It's the norm. It is what is normal. But how many know that 2020 has not been normal? And people are talking about getting back to normal. And other people are saying it's going to be a new normal because things are different. Things have been a little topsy-turvy. And since we're in a brand new decade, is this setting the tone for a brand new decade? Are we breaking protocol? And it's important to understand that you can't break something you're not in. So you have to know how to be in protocol first before you break it. Now, when I gave you the definition, I gave you the second part of the definition. The first part has to deal with government. Protocol really is a government word. There are certain things that governments and kingdoms that they operate in, and you're not allowed to go outside of the rules of the government or the rules of the kingdom. Back in the day, it was off with your head. You did the wrong thing, said the wrong thing, acted the wrong way. The king would cut you off and kill you. But whenever there was a revolt or a rebellion, it'd be somebody that said, I'm breaking protocol. The reason why the English left England and came over here to America, they were tired of what they called taxation without representation. You taxing me, but then you won't represent me. And so they said, we're getting ready to break protocol. And they made a new nation known as America. Sometimes in life, you gotta break protocol. Sometimes in life, you got to break the box that you're in. Sometimes you can't do what everybody else has been doing. I know it's the normal thing to do. I know it's the accepted thing to do. I know your daddy did it and your mama did it and everybody in your family did it. But you're not everybody else. You're you. And sometimes when you are uniquely you, you got to break out of boxes and break protocol and change stuff and do stuff different. Because sometimes your life depends on you breaking protocol, doing it different, stepping out, being bigger and better and going beyond. I know you failed this time and I know you failed last time, but you can break protocol and be successful this time. It's time to look for something new, expect something new, act in a new way, function in a new way, think in a new way, break old molds, break old mindsets, break protocol. I'm going to put a scripture up. This, not a scripture. I'm going to put a picture up. Have them put a picture up. I seen this picture up, put up, posted by Jaron Kelly, and it tickled me because I caught it later. But I'm going to read it, and it says, "You don't matter. Give up." I was like, man, that's harsh. That's what they call straight no chaser. Just you don't matter. Give up. The only problem was I was reading that according to protocol. According to protocol, you read from left to right, and you read the top row, and then you read the bottom row. But when I broke protocol, I seen it different. I seen that it says, you matter, don't give up. The only way I could see it different is I had to come out of my normal protocol. My normal protocol says read this way and then read that way. But there was a message that those are two totally different messages. One says you don't matter, give up. Another says you matter, don't give up. And here's the thing. If you don't break protocol, you're going to be living from the wrong message. If you don't break what the world is telling you, I know you've got black skin. And I know you might not be the thinnest person around. And I know you might be living in Section 8 housing. And I know you may have a bus pass instead of a car. But don't let anybody devalue. You break protocol. I matter to God. I am somebody in God. I'm a child of the King. I am somebody. I don't care what you said. I don't care what the rap artist said. I don't care what the government said. I don't care what my mama and my daddy said. I'm breaking out of the limitations. I'm breaking out of the protocol. I'm changing my life because my life depends on it. Now, sometimes desperate times call for desperate measures. When you're not in desperate times, you can take your time. When you're not in debt up to your eyeball, you can pull out your credit card. But when you are in desperate times, it calls for desperate measures. And in 2020, we are in desperate times. We are in times we can't afford to play. We can't afford to miss opportunities. We can't afford to just do what we've always done and expecting what we've always expected. We've got to break protocol. All right, that's enough setting it up. I want to work. There's three women that I seen who broke protocol, and I want to speak from those three women. I'm gonna take just three different accounts from three different women. Now, we know men and women are amazing throughout the Bible, but sometimes the women don't get the credit. Sometimes our heroes are always the men. But there's something about a woman. A woman knows how to break protocol. Sometimes even better than a man, because sometimes women are so resourceful that when they were making the chili and they went for the paprika, it wasn't no paprika. I ain't got time to go to the dollar store. I got this pot of chili. I'm about to break protocol. I'm going to find something to sweeten this chili up, make it look like it. I'm going to use some red dye number 5, and ain't nobody going to know. I can't follow the recipe. I got to break protocol. Oh, sometimes you've got to learn how to reinvent yourself. I heard Bishop Jakes say something. When Bishop Jakes turned 60 years old, he was in, he happened to be at a banquet. And so as he was at this banquet, he was talking to someone and they were telling them, like, Bishop Jakes, you've done a lot well with your life. And he said, yeah, but I'm 60 now. I'm on the downward turn. And he said the person he was talking to got upset with him. He said, everything that I've accomplished, great. I accomplished it after I turned 60. Don't look at 60 and think your life has to slow down. He said, I got a Nobel Peace Prize at 72. So what Bishop Jakes was saying is that he had the wrong mindset. He had the mindset, if I hit 60, then my life is fading away. But this other guy said, no, you can just turn around and live. You might be 99, but you can keep on living. Sarah had a baby. Abraham had a baby in their 90s. Break protocol. I know they're telling you you're going to be on a walker. They told my dad he had rheumatoid arthritis and he'd be crippled for the rest of his life. But with healing power, he broke protocol. I don't receive that. I don't accept that. I know what belongs to me and I accept nothing less, but you gotta break through that. The birds you see in the air, they had to break through the egg. The children that you see running around at daycares, they had to break through the room. That you don't ever get through anything special unless you break through some stuff. Everybody wants God to give them a breakthrough, but when are you gonna break through on your own? for the men in the building, before I go to these three women, for the men in the building, we are now in the NFL season. And when you go and watch football, they have what they call the running back. Yes, the quarterback is sexy and the receiver is sexy and they get a lot of the accolades, but sometimes it's the running back that'll run through that hole, that'll bust through when I just need 2 inches to make the touchdown. I'm giving it to that running back and making him bust through. I'm here to let you know you're close to the touchdown. And no, it's not going to be flashy. It's not going to be cute. You got to buckle yourself down, bear down, and you got to run that devil over and knock him over. And then when you get to the touchdown, dance on his head. Do a touchdown dance on the devil's head. You knocked me over. You caused me to have divorce. I was broke. I was molested. But I made a touchdown. I made the winning score. Thank you, God.
All right.
Breaking protocol. Breaking some of this stuff off of my life. Everything don't feel right. Let me just talk a little bit. Right now I'm in a custom tailored suit. I didn't like spending money for custom tailored suit, but after a while, them little raggedy suits I was buying off of the rack didn't fit me no more. Not because I'm so special and I can't wear anything, because I've got good suits from Goodwill. But every now and then you just get a luxury feeling. I just want to act like luxury. I want to feel like luxury. I want to think like luxury. I may not be able to afford it right now, but I'm going to go to the car place, the car lot, and I'll just have them open the door and I'll sit and imagine and I'll sit and dream, because I feel like I'm breaking to a whole nother level. Somebody ought to go to the grocery store and pull a home book off the shelf and start looking through home books, because where you are is too small. Not because God is mad at you, but you need to break some of this stuff. Now, we can be comfortable where we are, because sometimes where we are is not all that bad. But I don't want to be comfortable. I want to break. Let's talk about these women. Let's put that back up. Three women who broke protocol. Number one we're going to go to is Esther. The first one is Esther, and we're going to look at Esther 4 and 11. Would you read that, Mother Mitchell?
All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces know that if any man or woman goes to the king inside the inner court without being called, there is but one law.
There's a protocol. If you are not called by the king, if the king didn't send for you, if the king didn't ask for you, we live in a day and age where people can knock on your door and you didn't tell them to come. But that didn't work like that with the king. And so let's look at the next verse, which is actually the 11th verse continued.
To be put to death, except the one to whom the king holds out the golden scepter, so that he may live.
So there's only one law if you show up to the king and you have not been invited, and that law is you get put to death unless he holds out the scepter for you. All right, let's go back to it and read the last part of it.
So that he may live. But as for me, I have not been called to come into the king these 30 days.
All right, Esther 4, 12 through 13. Before we read that, I'll give us just a little background. So we know that Esther was elevated to the level of the queen for that time, because Vashti, the queen, had gotten a little mouthy. And so he got rid of Vashti and went through the land to find somebody else. And Esther was the reigning one. But Esther wasn't called for 30 days. So she said, I don't know if I'm in favor with him or not. But there was some trouble going on in the land of the Jews. And Mordecai was saying, Esther, we need you. And Esther was saying, listen, I can't go, and I can't break protocols. Basically, what she is saying is like, I'm on the outside looking in. Have you ever been on the outside looking in and you feel like I need to do something, but I'm helpless. I can't do anything. I'm stuck where I am. All right, let's read verses 12 and 13.
And they told Mordecai what Esther had said. Then Mordecai told them to reply to Esther, do not think to yourself that in the king's palace you will escape any more than all the other Jews.
Basically, there was an edict to kill all the Jews, and Esther had hidden the fact of her, who she was. She was a Jew, but not many people know about it. And so she's like, I'm stuck. I can't do anything. But her uncle Mordecai said, listen, at the end of the day, you're a Jew. So when they get to killing Jews, I don't care what position you have, they're going to kill you too. So you can be stuck. You can be afraid to break protocol if you want to. But at the end of the day, you are what you are. Now, let me say this. I love everybody, but sometimes people don't see anything but our skin. I don't care what I do. I don't care where I go. If I'm on the golf course, that means I have the money to be there. Don't look at me and act funny because you see me on the golf course and you looked at my skin. But for some people, you are nothing but your ethnicity. And that's the spirit of hate. And it's not brand new. It's not new. It was happening there. But Mordecai was reminding her, listen, you are in a place of prominence. Stop being scared and do something. Let's see the response. Let's look at verse 14.
For if you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another place.
Here's the thing I want you to understand, Esther. If you allow your stuckness to keep you on hush mouth, God will find somebody else to bring the deliverance. I want to work through you, Esther, but if you're going to be scared and afraid to break protocol and afraid to make noise and afraid to say something, you always want to be the most mousy person in the room. If you're going to be a scaredy cat, we don't need you in this time. God will raise somebody else up. Read. When we go back, we're going to read.
But you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not come to the kingdom for such a time.
I love this. Mordecai dropped something in Esther's spirit. Maybe all these things that have happened have brought you to this place for this very purpose. Maybe you are the one that God's going to use to revolutionize everybody else. Maybe you got that job not just so you can have money in your pocket, but I'm getting ready to do something that'll open up the floodgates for everybody else. See, you have to understand that the devil plays checkers, but God plays chess. God strategically puts people in places, and sometimes when he picks us up and moves us, it hurts and we feel like God has abandoned us, but maybe you were brought to the kingdom for such a time as this. Maybe you entered 2020 for such a time as this. And I like the fact that Mordecai was mentoring Esther, and Esther had to think about it. Yes, I'm stuck, and yes, I don't know if I should break protocol, but just maybe God is behind the scenes doing something. Maybe God brought me to this place for a strategic and a specific reason. Let's read the next verse. Not the Romans 7:8, but we're going to go to Esther 4:15.
Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai.
So Esther decided, okay, I got to tell Mordecai something. He's given me some information. It's different from what I'm planned on doing, but I'm going to give him a response. So let's see, did she listen or not? Let's see what she says in verse 16.
Go, gather all the Jews to be found in Susa, and hold a fast on my behalf.
I love the mindset of Esther. I'm stuck, but I know if I have some folk praying for me. Yeah, I'm in a position that I can lose my position. I can say the wrong thing. I could do the wrong thing. I could cost me and I can cost them. But she understood the power that I really have is not the power of my position. It's the power of prayer. Gather all the folk that know me, that know how to get a prayer through, and have them turn their plate down. You don't have a friend until you have a friend that'll fast for you. Not fast for their stuff, but fast for you. Let them all fast. Pray for me, because maybe he's right. Maybe this is my season. Maybe this is my hour. But if it is, I'm going to need some help. I'm here to let you know this is the season for Pastor Andre, but I can't do it by myself. Yes. I'm here to let you know this is the season for you, but you can't do it by yourself. You need somebody praying for you. You need a grandmama praying for you, a granddaddy praying for you, a church mother praying for you, a deacon praying for you, a pew mate praying for you, somebody that don't even go to your church, that go to another church. You need a prayer partner in this season. Sister Teresa used to call it a hit partner. You need a hit partner that'll cry with you, that'll sweat with you, that will snot with you, that'll touch heaven for you. Yes, it's my season, but I need an ace, boom, coon. I need a ride or die. I need somebody that'll touch heaven on my behalf. So let everybody, she said, and hold a fast on my behalf. Read.
And hold a fast on my behalf, and do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my young women will also fast as you do. Then I will go to the king, though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish.
Now, one thing I enjoy, she said, I'm fasting too. Don't ask me to fast for you and you eating KFC all day long and you watching the Real Housewives of Atlanta. No, if I'm fasting for you, you show me you fasting too. She said, I'm going to fast too. But then she comes up with this statement. Wait a second. First of all, I thought I was stuck and I haven't been able to go to the king in 30 days, but I'm about to break protocol. And if I perish, I perish. I'm going to see the king. I'm going to have an audience with the king. It might cost me. I might have to stick my neck on the line. But it's not about me. It's about the people that I'm called to serve. It's bigger than me. It's bigger than my new shoes and my new car. It's bigger than me getting a boyfriend and a girlfriend. It's about a revolution taking place. So if I perish, I perish. I'm going to see the king. Martin Luther King said it this way. He said, I may not get there with y'all, but I seen the mountaintop. They killed him not just because of what he was talking about civil rights with black and white, but when he was bringing black and white together in Memphis and he was fighting for the poor people and bringing them together, they said, that brother got to go. He knew he was putting his neck on the line, but when it's a greater good, when there's a greater purpose, you say, I'm not afraid, I'm going to break protocol, and if I die, let me die. If I hurt, let me hurt. If I get divorced, let me get divorced. If I lose the job, let me lose the job. But I'm going to do the will of God, come hell, come high water, and I'm going to pull as many folk as I can with me. So Esther broke protocol. Let's go to another person that broke protocol. Number two, the woman with the issue of blood. So we have Esther, and then we have the woman with the issue of blood. Now here's something I want to point out to us, that Esther was in a high position. We know Esther's name, but we don't know the woman with the issue of blood. She's just called the woman. Sometimes God uses people that don't have a title. Sometimes God uses people that don't hold the mic, that's not on the pulpit. And then they're not going to give you accolades. And when you have an anniversary for being saved 5 years, they're not going to throw you no party. They're going to throw the bishop a party because he's been preaching for 5 years. But with you, you ain't getting nothing. Just, I'm glad you made it. But just because you don't get the accolades everybody else gets doesn't mean you don't have the same power to break protocol. They may not know your name. They may not know. When they see the building, they don't know your tithes contributed to it. When they hear me preach, they don't know your prayers contributed to it. They don't know your fasting contributed to it. But you are still important. And even in this story, Jesus was not supposed to be helping this lady. He was going with Jairus and he was going to his house to help his 12-year-old daughter. But this woman had a need, and her need was so great, she said, I'm breaking protocol. All right, let's look at Mark 5 and 22. Then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. Pick it up at verse 23.
He pleaded earnestly with him, my little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live.
He had an urgent request. My daughter's dying. Jesus, please do this. Let's look at verse 24.
So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him.
It's funny that the large crowd, their daughter wasn't dying. They was just nosy. They want to know what's going on. And they crowded and they pressed around Jesus. And so let's keep reading. Verse 25.
And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years.
Now, I'm not a woman. You guys would understand this more than I would. But in her cycle for not some days, but 12 years. 12 times 365. I don't know what that is. You can just look it up real quick. That's a long time to be in it. That's too much. Y'all know better than I know. That's too long. But what the Bible doesn't give us all the details, you have to think through. Because of the way things were worked in that day, when the woman was in that type of cycle, it was against the law for her to be with a mate. And so If her husband didn't want to wait 12 years, you know what he probably did? He probably said, bye-bye. See you later. Bye-bye. Guess what? You couldn't be around folk. So some of her friends, well, like, we can go to Applebee's together. No, I can't be seen with you. You got something going on. See, here's the problem. Some people's diseases are internal and nobody knows it. But there's other people who have diseases that are external and everybody knows it. And they go through hell. See, I know what you did. I seen you in the paper. I seen you on the corner. It's a bunch of people that got a bunch of junk in them, but some of that stuff is private. But there's other people, they go through public humiliation. And so this lady was in a desperate situation. Let's look at the next verse, verse 26.
She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had.
Not only did she probably lose relationship, but she had suffered under many doctors who are practicing physicians. Now, that means for 12 years, nobody could figure out what was going on and how to stop it. But that didn't mean they stopped prescribing medicine. Try this, do that. And guess what? You got to pay for all of that. When they prescribe something and they're wrong, you still got to pay. When they bring you and they operate on you and they don't fix the problem, you still gotta pay. And so the Bible says she has spent all that she had. Now she's broken from relationship. Now she's broken financially and she still has the same problem. You have to picture that in your mind, to go through something for 12 years and try. It's not like she wasn't trying to get delivered, but she was trying and she was still stuck. If anybody had a reason to stay stuck, it was her. All right, read that verse again for me.
She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse.
The Bible adds something else that makes it even more heartbreaking. It's not that the situation stayed the same. It got worse. I'm paying more, doing more, and getting worse all the time. Now, we are trying to picture it as a literal physical problem, but some of us have had spiritual problems the same way. That I done come to church year after year, but I still got lust. I done come to church year after year, but I still got anger. I don't even know if God's gonna choose me and use me, because I done been at the altar, I done had oil on my head, I done tied, I done gave, I done prayed, I done read, and I still got issues. But when you still have issues, you still need to break protocol.
Amen.
All right, let's look at verse 27.
When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak.
When she heard about him, she didn't ask nobody's permission. When she heard about him, see, all she needed was to hear. She said, I don't need no flyer. I don't need no Facebook Live. You ain't got to tell me what time church start. I will come, but I don't know what time you start. I will come, but I ain't got a ride. She didn't have no more money. She spent all she had, but she broke protocol, didn't ask Jesus' permission, didn't ask Jairus' permission, didn't ask the crowd's permission, and she went and she touched the hem of his garment. She said, I'm gonna get what I need, because can't nobody else help me, so I'm going for what's mine. I'm going for broke. I'm taking another chance. Here's the thing I need you to understand. What does it hurt to take another chance? You already done lost everything. Things aren't getting better. What does it hurt to try Jesus one more time? Well, I don't want to try the church because there's so many hypocrites in the church. It's hypocrites in the bar. You keep coming back to the bar. How about you just try Jesus? It's too many phony folk on church. There's phony folk on Facebook and you keep scrolling and keep liking and keep loving. You see people putting stuff on there, you know they lying, but you keep on keeping them your friend and you can't come to church. Try Jesus. Break protocol. And if you know anything about the story of this, is that years ago in Malachi, the scripture says that when the Son of Righteousness comes, he will come with healing in his wings. And the rabbis would wear these prayer shawls that had tallits or wings. So she had been hearing all her life that if the Messiah ever shows up, he's going to have healing over his body. He's going to have healing close to him. So guess what? I'm going to take a chance. I don't even know if he who he say he is, but I'm going to take a chance and I'm going to grab. Now, something else I need you to understand is hard because of social distancing. I can't bring all the people I need to bring up here. But the Bible says there was a crowd of people around him. So she had to figure out how to get to him. And we're dealing with multitudes. So in my mind, the Bible doesn't say it, but in my mind, I think she had to crawl. I think she had to sneak. But let me tell you something. When you are at your last, you don't care if folk laugh at you. You don't care what they say. I got to get a hold of the Savior. I got to get a hold of the Master. I got to touch the hem of his garment. I don't care what you say. Laugh at me if you won't. Talk about me if you won't. Lie on me if you won't. I'm the one bleeding. You ain't. I'm the one with issue. You not. So I'm going to get what I need. I may have to crawl, but I'm going to get a hold of the Master. I'm breaking protocol in 2020. I don't care what it looks like. I know it's a pandemic, but I'm breaking out of this because here's the thing. If I stay like this, I'm going to lose my mind. There's some folk here and on live stream, you about this close to snapping, going literally off because you've got so much pressure on you and one little straw will break you, but you're still trying to move. You're still trying to give God praise. You're still trying to press past. When you lay down, you got nightmares coming in your head. When you wake up, you got migraines. You don't know if you're coming or going, but you believe that if I just hold to God's unchanging hand, I don't know when he'll do it. I don't know how he'll do it, but I believe late in the midnight hour, God's going to turn it all around. I don't know who I'm talking to, but there's somebody that believes God in the midst of panic, in the midst of trouble. I still believe God. I still think he can do what he said he was going to do. I still think he can bless me like he said he can bless me. Can I touch the hem of his garment? Reaching for him. I'm reaching. I don't know if you've ever been in a crowd and you have somebody reach over you. You'd be like, man, what's wrong with you? Scoot back. Especially if you feel like somebody trying to cut the line. Get back. I don't know how many elbows she took. I don't know how many times her fingers got stepped on. I don't know how many times her knees were scraped up. But baby, I'm going for what's mine. I'm getting it one way or the other. I love her determination. Another thing is important to understand that the scripture says, I didn't really deal with it all the way. But remember, Jesus was going to heal Jairus' daughter. But Jairus was the leader of the synagogue. And as the leader of the synagogue, he had the right to have her arrested for being out in public with an issue of blood. So she was taking a major chance, but she said, I'm going for it. I love that type of woman. Yes. Amen. Let's look at Mark 5, 28 through 29.
Because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed.
She said she thought. Here's the thing about an issue. An issue gives you time to think. When you're in a real issue, you got some thinking time. But somehow she gathered all her thoughts and said, if I get close enough to him, I believe I'm going to get healed. I believe if I come back to church next week, something's going to happen to me. I believe. Now, I don't know how many times she thought it, because sometimes the way life works, you can think it and be disappointed. But if you are a thinker and a believer, you'll find a way to get back out of the corner and try again. If at first you don't succeed, try again. If at first you don't succeed, believe again. If at first you don't succeed, reach again. If at first you don't succeed, break protocol again. If you're still breathing, you still got a chance.
Amen.
How about you look at your neighbor and say, I still got a chance. Don't count me out. I still got a chance. I still got a chance. You ain't got to say all this, but I still got hope. I still got faith. I know it don't look right, but I still expect it. I know I got holes in my roof, but this ain't the last house I'm going to have. I know I'm 62, but I'm looking for a wedding dress right now. I still believe.
Hallelujah.
I'm going to break protocol. If I just touch his clothes, I'll be healed. Read.
Immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was free from her suffering.
Yes, we love immediately in the scripture, but her immediately came on the heels of 12 years of suffering. And the Bible called it suffering. It wasn't cruising, it was suffering. And sometimes when you go through suffering, it's not no 24-hour experience. It is a process. But as quick as the trouble comes and the issue comes, and as long as it stays, it could turn just like that. I was preaching at the tent revival, and I was talking to them about the miscarriages that me and my wife went through. And I don't remember. I remember it theoretically. I remember the pain we went through, but I don't remember it because when the kids came, God did it so quick, I forgot about the pain. You have to understand that God could move so fast and so suddenly that you forget all the hell you went through. One good man can forget all the raggedy fools you've been with. One good woman can make you forget all the stuff you've been through. One good pastor can make you forget all the bad churches you've been in. One good job can make you forget all. You have to understand God could do something in a moment that shifts your whole mindset. I know I ate Spam, but I don't remember how it tastes. I know I had government cheese, but I don't remember how it tastes. Now I can remember it, but God has removed me so far. He's blessed me so much. He's done so much in my life. I know I rode the bus, but I can't remember it because God's done so much in my life, and he did it so quick. In 1 month, he turned my whole life around. In 1 week, there was an immediately. If you're willing to break protocol, God will break protocol for you. And scripture says at the end, she was freed from her suffering. We are at Deliverance Temple. So that means we're supposed to get some freedom. I know we got to go through some stuff, because if you're not going to go through nothing, you don't need to be called Deliverance Temple. We're going to go through some stuff, but we ain't got to go through it all our life. We got to come out sometime, some way, somewhere over the rainbow. We got to come out of it sometime. Somebody ought to get some healing. Somebody ought to get some money. Somebody ought to get blessed. Somebody ought to get saved. This is Deliverance Temple, the revelation of Jesus Christ. I'm going to mess around, feel like preaching if y'all keep acting like this. Mark 5 and 30, would you read that?
At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, Who touched my clothes?
Now, if you understand the story, there were crowds thronging around him. A lot of people touched his clothes, but nobody touched his clothes with a breaking protocol mindset. Yeah. She touched his clothes with the mindset, I'm pulling healing out of him. I don't care what he's doing, where he's going. Jesus, you don't have to stop by me. I'll stop by you and grab what belongs to me. Faith will grab what belongs to you. I know they say I don't deserve it. I know they say I'm too dirty. I know they say I've messed up too much, but I'm grabbing what belongs to me. I believe God gonna do just what he said. And if he don't do it quick enough, I'll go and grab what belongs to me. And Jesus says, somebody touched me with the touch of faith. Somebody pulled something out of me that I didn't even release. Faith will alter the mind of God. Even though God changes night, faith will alter the mind of God. No, it won't. Yes, it will. Because God told Isaiah, go to Hezekiah and tell Hezekiah, you put yourself together, get your affairs in order, you getting ready to die. Isaiah walks and is leaving the courtroom. But Hezekiah prayed. The Bible said he turned his face to the wall. And after he got done talking to God, Isaiah had to turn around and come back. God said, I'm giving you more years to your life. I don't care what the devil said. God can turn it around. He can turn it around. He can turn it around. He can turn it around. But he needs some faithful folk. Mark 5 and 31.
You see, the people crying against you, his disciples answered, and yet you can ask, who touched me?
The disciples were flabbergasted. How are you going to ask who touched you and all these people are touching you? Verse 32.
But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it.
See, here's the thing. Jesus knew, I can look and tell. I can look and see the look of faith on somebody's face. I love sometimes coming to here and I see some of y'all and I know what you're going through, but I see a look of faith on your face. You look like you're ready for a fight. Yeah. I just barely pulled myself together, but devil, bring it on. I believe God gonna do something. I love it when I can look on your face and see faith. Jesus said, listen, somebody touched me, and I don't care what y'all saying, let me look around. I can find them because they'll have the look of faith on them. Let's go to verse 33.
Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth.
Why was she trembling with fear? She should have been happy that she got healed, but she knew she took a chance. She broke protocol. She could get healed and arrested. So she was trembling. But let's look at what verse 34 says.
He said to her, daughter, your faith hath healed you.
He didn't say my power has healed you. He said your faith has healed you. I was heading to touch Jairus' daughter, but your faith pulled something out of me.
Yeah.
And here's something that's beautiful, that Jairus' daughter was 12 years old. So the moment that she was born was the same moment this woman got afflicted. And so Jesus was heading to touch this girl who was 12 years old, but God had an appointed time. He had a scheduled time. And I know the devil think he gonna cause you to lose your mind, but you got a set time with God. And if you can use your faith, you can snatch stuff from heaven and pull it right in the earth. There's some stuff we need. I don't need it in heaven. I need it right now. And I'm pulling on it right now. Let's go to number... Mary and the alabaster box. So we had Esther. Then we had this woman. Didn't even have a name. But her faith made her whole. And now we have Mary and the alabaster box. Let's pick up the pace a little. Mark 14 and 1.
Now the Passover and the festival of unleavened bread were only 2 days away. And the chief priests and the teachers of the law were scheming to arrest Jesus secretly and kill him.
Here's the thing I want to point out really quickly there. There was a scheme to kill and arrest Jesus. It was a secret scheme. We know about it because we're reading the scripture, but nobody else knew about it. Nobody else knew it, even his disciples. Even though he said, I got to go and die, they didn't really catch it. They didn't know when it was going to happen. They really thought Jesus was going to literally set up his kingdom right there, so they didn't see it, but there was a secret plot to kill Jesus. Look at verse 2.
But not during the festival, they said, or the people may riot.
Now this, I got to take a little quick rabbit trail. Everybody right now is talking about the riots. But these people said, we're not going to do it because what we do cause riots. Don't talk about the folk rioting if you don't fess up that some of the junk you've done is what's causing people to riot. Amen.
The leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head.
Jesus sitting here reclining after a meal with a leper. Now Jesus wasn't really supposed to be with lepers, but he broke protocol all the time. But here's this girl named Mary. She comes in and she don't do all the stuff you're supposed to do. She breaks this perfume over the head of Jesus and begins to worship him in a radical, ridiculous way. Let's look at verse 4.
Some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, why this waste of perfume?
They didn't understand. Here's the thing. When you go for broke, not everybody's going to understand. Everybody has an opinion and everybody has a fault, but not everybody's walking in your shoes. If I was you, I wouldn't leave him. If I was you, I wouldn't leave her. Well, you not me. You not in my shoes. So you can talk what you talking, but I'm the one who got to live this. I'm the one who got to walk this out. They had a mind. And the Bible says they was indignant. People will be mad at you for doing you. People will cut you off for doing you. People got mad at me because I chose Devin. Well, if you wanted her, you should have chosen. Why are you mad at me? Let's look at verse 5.
It could have been sold for more than a year's wages and the money given to the poor. And they rebuked her harshly.
Not only did they get indignant, they had enough nerve and unmitigated gall to rebuke her, which means stop. They told her off. And they basically said, they try to get real spiritual about it. This could have been given to the poor. Why are you using this on Jesus? Let's look at verse 6.
Leave her alone, said Jesus.
What? Hold on. Let's read those three words one more time.
Leave her alone.
There's a revelation right there. Leave her alone. Let's just say it in our own words. Leave me alone. See, so you don't have time to explain everything to everybody that doesn't agree with you. They don't know. Listen, you know you're going for broke, and sometimes you got to tell folks, leave me alone. I'm doing what I need to be doing. And so you say, well, I don't want to say it. And let me give you another way to say it. Turn your phone off. You ain't even got no answer. You see, caller ID can be a blessing. You see that number, that negative person, you know they're going to talk a bunch of junk. Well, what you doing? I'm going to get my license expunged. Well, you know you ain't got no car. What you doing that for? Don't even answer the phone. Leave me alone. Jesus said to the people, leave her alone. Read.
Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me.
She's done a beautiful thing to me. Here's something awesome. That you could be doing something beautiful for God and people totally misrepresent it. You could be doing, I remember even growing up in my parents' house and hearing some whispering that your dad is down there in the low end. He'd been talking to prostitutes. That sounds horrible. But when they found out the real deal, he was really helping folk. But people will turn your stuff upside down. And that's somewhat easy for people to mix up. But people can mix up stuff when you're doing absolutely nothing wrong and still mix it up. But you can't let that bother you. Amen. I remember when driving to Indianapolis and working at Indianapolis, it was three of us that rode together. And a particular time I was having my car parked at my friend's house because he was driving. Devin got a call and somebody said that Andre had his car at so-and-so's house all night long. Yes, I did. Because me and the husband was going to work. That's why my car was there. They didn't look at it and they got it all wrong. Didn't have the nerve to come tell me, but want to spread stuff. People will put your name in all kinds of stuff, but when you are breaking protocol, you ain't got time to deal with the petty stuff. And Bishop talked about it last week, how he almost made that mistake. You don't have time to chase lies down. And they're going to lie. If you really, really, really doing something for God, they're going to lie. And you ain't got time to chase every lie down. You just keep living for God. Verse 7.
The poor you will always have with you, and you can help them anytime you want. But you will not always have me.
I wish I could really dig into this, but I won't. But some people will talk about people like me who do believe that God will prosper us, and they'll say Jesus rode a donkey. What makes you think you need a Cadillac? Jesus was poor. But here the scripture says that Jesus said, the poor you will have with you always, but you're not always going to have me. So Jesus didn't look at himself as poor. So stop telling me that Jesus was poor, because Jesus said, listen, you can serve the poor later. Right now, you need to do something for me. Now, this is crazy, because Jesus knew he was going to raise from the dead, but he still allowed her to spend this important, special oil on her. And wasn't that a waste? Listen, God owns it all, so if he want to waste it, let him waste it. If God want to waste a mansion on me, don't worry about it. Let him waste it on me. He ain't got no business going to Ruth Chris. If he want to waste a good steak on me, let him waste a good steak on me. Well, all he going to do is eat it and then go to the toilet. Yeah, but don't you worry about it. If God bless me with it, I'm going to take it. I'm going to enjoy it. It's me and God's business. It ain't none of your business. And Jesus said, the poor you have with you always, but she's doing something special for me. Basically what he's saying, she's on a level that you don't understand. She's broken protocol in so much, she's doing something right and you think it's wrong because you're stuck in an old mindset. And when you do new things, old people think you're doing something wrong. Ask Bishop about 1988 when he started talking about grace. They called him everything but a child of God. He was doing something right, but he was breaking protocol. When you trailblaze and when you break stuff, you can do right and people look at your right and say it's wrong. And if you're not solid, you'll listen to folk and back up. Don't you let anybody pull you out of what you know God is telling you. Verse 14 and 8. And I got to be honest with you. You guys need to go back and read it. I'm just giving you quick things about this so we can move through it. But there's so much that you could dig in here. Verse 8.
She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial.
Let me explain to you why this was so important. Because remember, I told you that there was a secret plot to kill Jesus. Nobody knew it. But in her spirit, she seen he was sitting here, but she felt something's not right. And she said, I need to worship him. And this is what I need to say it this way. I told our staff this earlier, that God has been dealing with me that we need to learn how to give people their flowers while they're living. Because you don't know, you might see somebody today and it might be the last time you see them. Death is running rampant in the land. And when God tells you to tell somebody you love them, you better do it. When God tells you to tell somebody I'm sorry, you better do it. She felt something in her spirit. I see Jesus. He's here, but something's not right. Let me worship him right now. Well, this ain't the time for worship. There's no organ. There's no drum. There's no synagogue. There's no church. But I'm worshiping him right now. The one scripture says she wiped his feet with her tears. She broke it open and she worshiped him for broke. And the religious folks looking and saying, man, look at all that waste. But she was the only one that had caught the revelation. You might be the only one with the revelation. You might get ostracized. You might get talked about. But you would rather please God than please man. Verse 14 and 9.
Truly I tell you, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her.
Here I am in 2020 talking about her. And Jesus said, based on what you did, based on the fact that you broke protocol and you reached into the heavenlies and worshiped me like nobody understood what needed to be done, I'm getting ready to give my life for the entire human race. And you're the only person that catches it. She said, he said, every time the gospel is preached, people are going to remember you. Here I am in 2020 still talking about her because she broke protocol. Do and remember me. All right, here's our last point. Those are the three things. So let's go to number four. So I had three women, but I want to put number four up. God breaks protocol for us. Somebody say this with me. Say, God, break protocol for me. Now, this is where I'm going to pick up next week. I'm going to continue this series with Breaking Protocol Part 2, and we're going to be talking about how God intervenes and interrupts. But before we do that, I'm going to give us just a little hint of it so that we can close this service out and be ready for the rest of this week. Let's look at the ultimate way God broke protocol. Let's look at John 3:16.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Here's how he broke protocol. He had a son, but he wanted a family. So he gave his only begotten son. And the son broke protocol too, because the son said, I'll go. Send me. I'll go. If you need somebody, we have to understand these were fallen people that had every reason to do it right. Only thing they had to do is don't touch that one tree. That's the one thing they did. And God still said, I want somebody to die for them. He broke all protocol. That angel said it this way, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that you visit him. God will leave the throne room to come to your bedroom and talk to you. He'll break all protocol because he loves you that much. Let's look at the next verse.
But God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
You mean the people that turned their back on him? He made Adam out of the dust of the ground, breathing him the breath of life, pulled out of his rib and created an Eve, and they still messed up and blew it. And God says, son, when you go to die, don't condemn them, just rescue them. That's breaking protocol. He should have annihilated all of us. He should have wore all of us. Sodom and Gomorrah shouldn't have only happened once. It should have happened in every town across the globe. But God broke protocol and said, I want to love those people. So put this up there for me. This is how we're going to close. The ultimate protocol of sin and judgment was broken at the cross. So we commemorate it often in remembrance. Nobody broke protocol like God broke protocol. Sometimes I look in the mirror and I say, Andre, you ain't nothing. And I truly mean, I mean that from the bottom of my heart. You ain't nothing. But at the end of it, I say, but with God, you're everything. You have no clue. If God lifts his hand off of me, you wouldn't even want to be around me. This anointing is not me. It's the hand of God. I'm nothing without God. I'm so glad that God broke protocol and grabbed me in a dorm room and turned my life around and turned my mind around. I'm so glad that God grabbed a Melvin who was drinking when he was 5 but turned his life around. I'm so glad that God grabbed a Royce and turned his life around. God grabbed an Allen and turned his life around. I can name all your names, but God broke protocol, and he loved you when you were unlovable. He saved you when you were a wretch undone, when you should have been polluted in your own blood. He died for you. He washed you. He cleaned you. There's nobody like our God. I searched all over. I couldn't find nobody. I looked high and low. I still can't find nobody. Nobody like him. Nobody like our God. Nobody loves like he does. Nobody forgives like he does. Nobody delivers like he does. Nobody saves like he does. Jesus saves to the utmost. Jesus saves. And because of that, we remember him. Would you put my communion side? Would you grab? We remember. We remember. You know, 2 days ago was September 11th. And so people say when September 11th comes around, they say never forget. They say we remember. And it's something to remember. But what I don't ever want to forget is the cross of Calvary. Whew, that he paid the price for a wretch like me. So we remember. Would you read these verses? And they're going to put each verse up, and let's just follow what those verses say. The first verse.
For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the night when he was betrayed took bread.
Next verse.
And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body.
Yes.
Which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.
Let's take a moment and eat that bread. The beaten, bruised body of the Lord. This is not his body. It's a symbol of his body. And it's a symbol that he dwells in us. So that's why we eat it and why we drink it. Let's go to the next verse.
In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.
Let's drink. What the new covenant says is that he would write his laws on our heart. The old covenant says, do this, do this, do this. If you don't do it, you'll die. But the new covenant says, there's no condemnation. And I'll put my laws on your heart. Bishop talked about it last week. I'll give you righteousness. And so that's what we're drinking. Read that final verse.
For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Why would we be proclaiming death? Because he defeated death. And when we die, we don't really die. We cross from death unto life.
Put the title of the message back up for us all.
Breaking protocol. Come on, let's pray. Let's bow our heads and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I thank you. I do believe you are stirring us up to break out of some of the cycles that you've had us in. Cycles of poverty, cycles of depression, cycles of anxiety, cycles of sexual trauma. But we're breaking protocol, and we're going to be the sons and daughters of your delight. And the devil will have nothing that he can do to us. Just like Jesus said, the enemy has come, but he's found nothing in me. Nothing. Because of your righteousness. Now, God, if there's anybody here as well as on the live under the sound of my voice that does not know you in the pardon of their sins, I pray today is the day they break protocol. And God, let them call on you and say, God, save me from the uttermost. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Deliver me from this day forward. And God, create a space for them when they cross from this life to the next. Now, God, if there's anybody need healing in their body, the Bible lets us know that he was bruised for our healing. So as we have taken this bread as well as this blood, we are healed. I curse coronavirus from its root. It has no place in this church. I curse cancer, cholesterol, diabetes, arthritis, anything not like God, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, anything in between, God. This is a place of healing and wholeness. This is Deliverance Temple. I speak healing over our money, healing over our marriages, healing over our families, healing over our lives. And I stay the hand of death, trouble, and accident. I plead the blood and I receive it as being done in Jesus' name. And let us say amen and amen. Come on, stand to your feet and shout the victory. Amen. We say goodbye to our live audience as they transition them out. But can y'all just take just about 30 seconds and give God a crazy praise?